people's belief in something is suddenly is questioned. It's a false belief they have. And it's my opinion, I'm guessing it'll be inflation. We do not believe in any stretch of imagination inflation has been beaten, and specifically in services inflation. And if that's the case, then when the Fed says higher for longer, it could be much longer, or it could be have to take rates up again, a little higher, not dramatically, but a little higher. Just anything in that could really be a trigger.
You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
And welcome. You are listening to and watching the Financial Survival Network. I'm your host, Carrie Lutz. Hey, if you're on the podcast, we're attempting to add a PDF file. If you're watching, we'll show you the PDF file. I'm still getting over this eyelid phenomena. In medical terms, it's called a chalazion, and it's where you have a clogged gland and the oil builds up. And no, I didn't get into a fight, in case that's what you're thinking. I almost got into a fight a couple of weeks ago, physical at Publix, but luckily didn't come down to that. I don't know how I would have handled it, but we're in a fight here, all of us, an economic fight, whether you realize it or not. It's what you call, Gordon, the trifecta. Gordon T. Long, and it's great to have you back. So the trifecta, what is the trifecta?
Absolutely, Carrie. By the way, you remind me of high school when I look at you. Uh-huh. I think I had to come home a few times looking like that myself. Anyway, we digress. Yeah. Harry, I sent these a couple of charts to you because I thought it was a good place for us to start. The trifecta, this first chart up here, is a logs chart, and going a long ways back. And you see, anytime is enough.
I'm going to share this on my screen right now. Give me one moment. I can find it. All right. So, Gordon, we've got the trifecta here. I've got your slides up on the screen. Can you see them there?
I can. That's the next one.
The next one.
Okay. Yeah, that's the trifecta that I'm referring to.
Okay. Well, a trifecta, when you're at the track, for those of you not in the know, that is when you pick the first, second, and third horses in a race. And usually has large payoffs. But here, this trifecta, I think, maybe not such a good payoff, huh?
No, it's going to be which side of the table you're on this one. But the trifecta here, this is a long-term chart going back to the 1950s, of the S&P, and you'll see it at 42% of the time it actually traded since 1948 within 5% of all-time highs. And then you can see these little coloring lines along them is sort of in orange. And then you see three boxes. And so what I distilled from our research is there's three times where we've actually had ourselves within 5% of all-time historical points in time. And that's an interesting point. But what's important is once you get that, you get into what the trifecta is. And that is, in all three of these, and the three being when we, back in the 70s, same inflationary kinds of issues. You see a double top there in the first box and lower. The next, we had the same thing. You see a double top. That was where we had the dot-com bubble leading to the financial crisis, the second hump in there. And then today, where we're at, where we're putting in a second top. But what's common in this, and it's what's behind this, it's important, is that you get in every one of those, you had extreme narrowing of the market. So what happens is the market went up rapidly based on fewer and fewer stocks. So back in the first box there in the 70s, and you, Carrie, you probably remember this, I do, sure. We created the Nifty 50. And it was 50 mm-hmm. big comps. We were going global. It was just, that was where it was. And you had to be in those 50 stocks. As you remember, during the dot-com bubble, we had the same thing. It wasn't That's narrower depth, but still narrowed down. And we were into the key internet stocks like Cisco and WorldCom and these kinds of corporations. Today, the breadth is as narrow as we've ever had it. We have the Magnificent Seven, and frankly, since in the last 60 days, it's been simply NVIDIA in it. But that this massive narrowing of breadth is the first thing that's common only to these three boxes. And it's not just the narrowing. That's himself is important, but it's that they go parabolic. And so as it takes a while for them to build up, but it's when they go parabolic that you really start to see where this trifecta starts to bring itself in. That's the first one of the three. The second, and I alluded to earlier, they all have double tops. And that is you get into this FOMO and fear of missing out and buying the dips and the excitement, and everybody gets into the market and sells off, but it takes a second big push up to really start to take that out of the market, and then so it can actually start to even potentially capitulate. Still takes a bit of time, and the third one is in every case, at least the second hump was a big recession, a hard recession. And so if we get a hard recession or just a recession, period, I know what the market thinks now, but if we get a hard recession, it will drop down to that black line historically and et cetera. If we go to the next chart, it really kind of brings it out a little further, Kerry.
Yeah.
And interrupt me at any point here as we're talking. This is the bottom 50 of the S&P 500, and you can see where it gets narrower and narrower all the way down. But what's interesting on the bottom, even though it's now that the narrowness is so tight, as I said, the Magnificent Seven, that we went completely parabolic in that point alone. And you can see from that line, it's thought there was something interesting that they would all connect like that, and it's. I don't know what the computers are reading into it, but it's an amazing that it is working out like that. It's a little scary. Going to the next chart, if sure. We could.
Sure.
This is something it's an interesting chart in that we've been using this chart for, I guess, four or five years now, before COVID. And you can see where we're going parabolic at this point in time. But we drew this chart where there's a dotted red line that's going parabolic. You can see inside the bottom red one. We drew that, which was really, and you can see it touching the lows. And it was allowing us to see that when we came out of COVID, where we thought we were going. And so it really was beautiful for it. I'm just talking about the dotted line. And we thought we'd reaching the point. It hadn't quite went parabolic, and then it dropped and we fell down. And so what we were forced to do, we said, well, I guess that was the end of that. We're playing around, we had to redraw it. Playing around with the COVID, you see it's redrawn with touching COVID, and it started to tell us that we at the next cycle, and you can see cycles along the bottom of the chart, little rounded humps. The next time we're in a cycle top, this thing would be on the vertical red line. We could go parabolic again, and we drew these dotted black lines, and we came to 5186, and we said this is absurd. We didn't believe it. We really didn't, but we had it there. We put it aside at 5186. Well, last week, Kerry, it hit 5186.87 and immediately pulled back. I don't know if that tells us anything, but it does tell us that we're at a very major junction in the world right now in terms of markets. And I caution people right now to really be careful. This is a time to take risk off the table, because that last 5%. Can be an absolute killer. You go to the next chart.
Yeah, let's not forget what gold is doing now in Bitcoin.
And it's doing it because of this. Bitcoin and gold, they're doing it because of this. Well, a number of reasons that they're doing it, and big time. And maybe we got some time. I'd love to talk about gold specifically. But this is another chart that this big dome top, which was the third box, and you can see we didn't draw the dome on the down here a little lower, the .com further to the left. But we've drawn this dome top, and we felt that we would come up and touch that, because tops are a process. They take time. And this is a generational top, we believe. And therefore, it would expect it to be 2 or 3 years in the making, which is what we're going through. We think we're very close to it, and we will probably, if things unfold, and there's a big caveat I'll get to in a second, we should drop down to the bottom of that black line and that channel going all the way back to the financial crisis. We're not going to correct that, but we're going to correct a big part, probably back to the pre-COVID high before we went into COVID. We think we'll be corrected. And then from there, we'll see what happens. But even with some movement around, it chopped down, can drop. And you see the divergence here at the bottom, which is a good sign as any. And we got divergences which everywhere. So a long-winded, but a lot of this is really telling us, get out of the equities right now, short-term. Even though it's going to go up, the risk is too much. And if you flip to the next chart, we have all sorts of charts go behind it. But the next one.
Sure. Remember what Bernard Baruch said, I got rich letting the other guy make the last 10%.
Exactly. This is a classic period that we're in. I'm a big fan of John Houseman from a fundamental standpoint. He does phenomenal work. And when he puts out a chart like this from a fundamental, I'm not talking about technicals, I'm not talking about global macro, which my comments have been generally at so far. All his signals are saying there's something here right now in this period of time. This doesn't mean this market's going to sell off tomorrow. It could drag out for I don't know what the period's going to be, but it does tell me that what's going to trigger it has to be a shock that comes to the market out of nowhere, something that's unexpected, because right now it'll run until something hits it. I went through that in the dot-com bubble. I saw it back in 86. It takes a shock. And there are some things that could shock the market. That's when people's belief in something is suddenly is questioned. It's a false belief they have. And it's my opinion. I'm guessing it'll be inflation. We do not believe in any stretch of the imagination inflation has been beaten, and specifically in services inflation. And if that's the case, then when the Fed says higher for longer, it could be much longer, or it could be have to take rates up again. A little higher, not dramatically, but a little higher. Just anything in that could really be a trigger. I didn't mean to go on there, Kerry. Any questions on what jumps out to you?
Not really. You know, it's looking pretty bubblicious out there.
Well, the next chart is something that really explains why. It's the amount, the liquidity that we have right now in the market is just phenomenal. You pump out $6.7 trillion. And it goes out through into the market through the Treasury's general account where they control where it's going. Read some of these bills like the Inflation Reduction Act. Like it almost gives them carte blanche to send the money wherever they want, and it's being targeted. And that's just
what they're doing.
But behind it, this chart showed where stage one at the top and stage two at the bottom. Where we watch Yellen all the time. We don't. It's what Yellen's doing with the general account. Since we got the cap on the debt crisis when we had that discussion last June, what she's been doing is she's grown the general account, but she's issued it a short term duration, which pushed the reverse repo market from 2.7 trillion down to around 400 billion. And that money has flowed right through short-term bills and out into the market. And that's what's been keeping it going. Now it's come all the way down to, as I said, maybe 300 to 400 billion is left. It's getting the liquidity was starting to tighten. And what she did next is she arbitraged, and I don't mean to get too technical, but some of our listeners just want to know the details. She allowed the big banks to arbitrage on the left here, the BTFP, the bank term funding program, so that the difference in spread, the big banks were able to pull out about $60 billion, $52 billion to be precise, dollars before they slammed it down. Now that $52 billion is literally infinite money to the major banks, who then lend it out to the hedge funds and some to the money market funds, who then leverage it up. There's about 15 of them. And that money, and you follow the red curve, goes back in where they now can buy longer term. And immediately she's now putting out 3-year, 5-year, 7-year, and 10-year money. And so it's almost unlimited now of the money that she has to take us through this election year. And as you're showing this slide here, You know, everybody talks about the financial conditions tightening and loose. They never tightened it. Look at the green. This is the Fed's. This is the Fed's chart. They've always been extremely loose in spite of quantitative tightening. And if you notice on the far right, it's starting to loosen even further. And that's what we've been going through. And that's at the root of what's been pushing this incredible expansion and the market up there. Play. It's an election year. We all know that.
Yeah.
Any questions there, Gary, that jump out at you?
No, just that it's kind of a shell game while the interest rate has gone up and now it's stayed where it is for quite a while. The net effect is more money is flowing into the system.
Oh, without question. And, you know, what people get, I think, get confused about, the banks have tightened credit. Absolutely. We tightened the credit. But the financial conditions are saying, don't worry about that. There's so much liquidity from 10 or 12 years of quantitative easing. Ever mind this 6.7 trillion that Bidenomics has pumped into the system. There's so much money, it doesn't know where to go. And so it's willing to take, and this goes back to the original trifecta, it's willing to take risk it inordinately would never take before.
Yeah, well, it's it's heads they win, tails we all lose, right?
Well, yeah. But remember, they're not buying protection yet in the SKUs and that sort of thing, but they will be very quickly starting to protect themselves.
Well, that's what they do. Hey, so
that's all. The only loser is the capitulation of the last people to the party. In other words, the people that have been buying from Christmas on that are still there. And I just put a newsletter this morning showing the rate at which the money's coming out of the high tech, the Mag 7 right now. And this is theoretically the smart money. They just don't want to take that. They've said, I'm taking the risk off the table. But don't forget, during the dot-com, the market peaked in March, the Ides of March. They're right in there. But it rebounded and came back up in September. Then wasn't a new high. That was then that capitulation happened. So this may drag on for a while, but it doesn't mean it keeps on going. And we've kind of stalled here right now. And I think there'll be some corrections and some attempts at rally as we go on.
All right.
Our opinion, it's sharing that with you.
So the GDP and GDI, so gross domestic product, gross domestic income, they're diverging too.
Big time. And for those that don't know what GDI is, gross domestic income, it's it equals the GDP. Now, there's a slight little discrepancy for timing and what's selected. But since Bidenomics has come in, it's exploded in terms of the difference. And in a double accounting system, they're always supposed to equal. So if you go into the next chart, it shows you just the magnitude. And this is the government. And try and get the GDI numbers out of the government. But anyway, this shows you the GDI on the left and the GDP on the right, showing you Q3 and Q2 of 23 in the difference. For example, Q3, 1.5 revised in the GDI, whereas GDP was 5%. And then when you do year over year, how dramatic it's been. So the economy is saying GDP is really great, but where's the GDI? And if you go to the next chart, it just says it's about printing money. It's not, we're not creating wealth. In actual fact, we're destroying wealth by the debt we're creating. And this chart says on the left is GDP, on the right is GDI, because GDP measures, Harry, as you well know, and I know you know all this, it measures expenditures, what we're spending. So that's the money that's coming in and where it's spent. In theory, everything that's spent should be some income somewhere, either to profits, to wages, the money flows out. So the income's on the right. So what's happening is inflation is really pushing up some of the income, but it's not really, it's much, much less than the money that we're spending on expenditures. And the reason, basically, is in the GDP formula, we borrow money, it's called investment income. Mm-hmm. Then it's given, and it's because the government has it and the government spend it, it's G for government, that's the three elements, consumption, government, income. So the government spends it, we add it up again, and then it goes as transfer payments for Social Security benefits, specific targets, that's called consumption, that goes up again. And that's what GDI is really showing you. You're saying, hey, something's seriously amiss here. And remember, when this was all put together, we were on sound money. We were on a non-fiat currency. So the possibility when we had to settle in gold at the end of the year said, it's got to equal. But when we settle with credit, it doesn't equal. So the system is it's fundamentally flawed. But it's not in Wall Street's interest to tell you that.
All right.
And you can't keep on going when you have this. When you're growing your national debt against GDP at this rate, it can't sustain. And that's assuming the GDP is correct, which means the day of looming is much, much sooner than we think. And I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just being honest here.
Yeah.
And the reason, if you notice, the 30-year bond now is tracking exactly in line with what the credit default swap is for the nation. So the yield on a 30-year, and it goes almost down to the 10, is mirroring the growth in our GDS, the yield rate that's going up, as opposed to the CDS rate for it. That says money is really frightened about our ability to continue to have foreigners pay for our debt. And this goes back to your comment, Harry, about Bitcoin and gold. That's a reflection of this. These charts you're just saying. They're saying the central banks are buying gold big time. And some of the major players are beginning to get into gold right now, are only beginning. They're not even close to really buying in, but they're starting to say, hey, I'm looking at it. And you see that with the sales of the ETFs in Bitcoin.
All right. Well, that's...
Anyway, I went on here. I was looking for some questions. Tell me where you think we're wrong, Kerry.
No, I got to say, I agree. You know, you just basically... statistically proved what we've all known.
Yes. Yeah, we know there's something wrong. It's like, but how do I conclusively see it? And that's what I believe these charts begin to tell you. We have all sorts of others that go behind it, but it's there. If you the facts are there if you want to look.
Yeah, that's the big if. Well, Gordon, just tell us where we find you. By the way, if you're listening on the podcast, there's a link in the show notes going to the Dropbox that will give you all of these charts, gift from Gordon. And we'll put it in the YouTube description too. I don't know if you'll be able to do it or not, but we'll put the link to the charts there, even though you've been seeing them as well. So Gordon, hey, just tell us where we find you, how we connect with you on the web.
Yeah, please. As you saw in the chart, so Matassi.com. We have a free newsletter out weekly with chart packages, because everything I've shown you, things change. So, you know, that's where we kind of update what we're seeing and things that are changing. And we welcome everybody to join us.
All right. Hey, if you have any questions or you're having problems downloading those charts, shoot me an email, kl@kerrylutz.com. We'll get you an answer. We'll get you a link. And all of this is in the show notes to the site, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. While you're there, sign up for your free newsletter. Gordon, always a pleasure. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you, Kerry. Thank you very much. Enjoyed it.
Thanks for listening to Kerry Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.